there was never any real conversations about sex. And I remember when I was, you know, sharing too much, but like, so when the first time it happened for me, I called my mom. Like, Mom, guess what? And she's like, really? She was like, did you like it? I was like, She was like, okay. She was like, well, remember, you have to get yours first before they get his, before he gets his. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I just had this conversation with my mom. Thank you.
That's good. Yeah, but the only extent of the conversation in terms of sex and or puberty, so there's nothing necessarily about puberty, but definitely about sex, was my stepdad just telling me straight up, hey, wear a condom. It'll ruin your entire life. And that's all I got. He didn't buy them for me either. He just told me about it.
Yeah.
When it came to sex, I think when I was older, I was just like, hey, Mom. And I forced it on her to just be okay with, like, my sex life. And I was just like,
That's so funny.
They have to. You'd be surprised.
I also walked in on my parents having sex. And I was like, I mean, that's really gross, but go, Mom. Like, y'all are 65 years old and still getting it and whatever. Like, I walked in and I was like, why wasn't the door closed? And I brought it up to my mom and teased her for days. And she was just like, she's like, stop talking about it. And I'm like, but it's so cute. Like, I'm so proud of you, Mom. Like, you guys are so adorable. And she was just like, why do you have to talk to me about this right now? It was like,
you were
role
making
reversal.
You're so uncomfortable.
I know, yeah. But I think it's just funny because, like, I mean, I'm a very open human, you know, like I said, I went to school for women and gender studies, so I'm just used to that conversation. That's hilarious. And I really don't care. And she was just like, that's inappropriate. And I'm like, no, it's not. Like, I'm just talking about sex. Like,
natural.
You and Dad are married. Like, whatever. It's not a big deal. Like, how do you think I exist
right
now?
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, but you're not supposed to know we still do that. And I'm like, I'm glad you guys still do that. That's it. Like, I hope I'm 65 years old and still having sex with my husband after, like, what, 40 plus years. Like, yes, please. Thank you.
Yeah, the opposite problem is actually a terrible one to have. So that's like my mother. I mean, she, sorry, Mom. But not too long ago, I mean, we're just joking around. She goes, oh, I haven't had it. And she tells me the amount of time. And I'm like, I don't know how that, how do you live like that? And she goes, you get used to it. You know, she's been divorced for years. And I'm like, I don't want to get used to that ever.
No.
Ever.
No, thank you.
That's funny.
Here we go. Welcome to First Gens. This is a podcast about first generation Americans and filling in the blanks. Besides the hyphen, I am Preen.
And this is Sky. You may be wondering why I'm talking in such a sultry voice today. Well, that's because the topic of this
We're going to talk about sex, like, for real, we're talking about sex. So if you have been following our last episode, we brought back the amazing Miss Betty Foe. We talked a little bit about, you know, her experience as a sex ed teacher and all of the different things that she's experienced, you know, throughout her life, and how her mom, like, giving her the sex talk, and how involved her mom was, and very vocal how her mom was, and just a great experience, you know, that she had. And, you know, that's great. And it was gravy. However, not every African parent is that open when it comes to the topic of sex. Okay?
I have only had three conversations about sex with my parents.
Two?
All three of them with my mother.
Okay.
And two of them were way too basic for my personal life.
And you said, what were the others?
Too basic for, like, my recent liking.
Wait, so how did one or your first conversation about, like, sex with your mom go?
Oh, God. Okay, so my first conversation ever in my life about sex with my mother happened when I was about 19 or 20 years old.
Okay.
I had my first boyfriend, and my mom, like, just, like, asked me if we were, like, sexually active. And I was like, no, we're not. And actually, we had like a little conversation. I was like, no, I'm actually like, you know, like saving myself in marriage. And so, you know, we haven't had sex and blah, 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 blah. Tried to go into like a few details, like, but essentially what she said was like, well, if anything happens, make sure he wears a condom. It was essentially like the only sexual education my mother ever gave me.
Okay.
Yeah. And then it was really funny because the other conversations were around when I told my mom I had a girlfriend, and she decided to, that's when she decided to get really in the weeds and like ask me really personal questions.
Too many.
And just really get all of my business. Like, I know we're coming from a good place, like warning about like sex toys, and like sex toys can lead to cervical cancer, which is not true unless you're using like, you know, something that's not that's like you bought on the black market for some reason. I don't know. And so like I appreciate the love that was shown, like, and I can see this being removed from the situation now.
Yeah.
Right. And now I'm like, okay, she was trying to show that she was trying. And I can appreciate it, you know, now that I'm removed from that situation. And you hopefully never have to have that conversation again.
Oh good. Now that you're removed from it. Yeah.
Right.
My God. Yeah, I remember you telling me about that, and I felt very uncomfortable for you. Like, I felt, yeah, I felt that discomfort. Well, I can, you know, pretty much say that my mom sat my brother, Eric, and I down when we're about, I don't know, we were in high school. I think maybe I was like a freshman. Eric was like a junior in high school. We did not go to church that Sunday. It was a Sunday, and I can't remember why, but I think my grandma wasn't like feeling well or something to that regards. My older sister Anne was like in college. She was not around. So Eric and I and my mother had like our own kind of mini Sunday morning kind of service in my grandmother's bedroom. And we're sitting there and, you know, reading Bible verses and all that jazz. And out of kind of nowhere, my mother said, I know that you all are getting older. I know that you're going to continue to age or, you know, something along those lines. But you live with me and you will not do anything inappropriate in my house. Nothing is going to happen here. You're not going to do any of those things here. And when you decide that you get older and you want to experience other things, very vague, very, very vague, and you want to experience anything else when you get out of my house and you're grown and you have your own house, okay, fine, but not in my house. So me and Eric are like, girl, what? Huh? So what are we really referring to? I think it was maybe like a few weeks or however long. I was like, oh, I think that was Mama's attempt to have a sex talk. I think that her undertones, her underlying, you know, like not in this house was sex. Don't have sex in this house. Like, don't have sex. And so it was very odd. It was very vague and it was very indirect. And so I remember that, but, you know, like I've said in many episodes, my mother kind of had more so of like a fear tactic with kind of the way that she raised us. It was, you know, I'm not your friend, like I'm your mother, but you will respect me first of all, and it's fine if you fear me as well. And that's kind of how we were raised. And I mentioned this in our other episode where we were talking about puberty, but my oldest sister, who again is much older, was like a second mother to me, she... now was very like a little too direct, but still very off the mark. Okay. So I had a boyfriend in high school, like all throughout high school. And, you know, we would like hang out like a few times. Well, we would hang out like, you know, on weekends, like my mom would let him come over the house, like as long as, you know, she was there and it was supervised and, you know, like all those things. And, we would just like hang out. And I remember my sister Jane, like, I was like leaving her house one day and she just mentioned, you know, there's other, like, there's, oh, so awkward, it was so awkward. She said something along the lines of, you can have an orgasm without, like, having intercourse. There's other ways that you can basically have an orgasm. But if you have an orgasm, that means that you've, like, basically had sex and that you're not a virgin and you don't need to have orgasms and you don't need to have sex. Because if you have sex, you will die. Basically, she didn't say that. She didn't say that. It wasn't the you'll die, but I was kind of like hinting on that sex ed gym coach from Mean Girls. Like, it was very like, if you're doing anything that causes you to have an orgasm, that is impure and that is sex and that is not appropriate and you don't need to be having sex and don't have sex because you shouldn't have sex until you're married. And so that was kind of what she hinted at. So I already knew, like, okay, you're not someone I can go to with real questions. I was like, I'm not talking to you about any of this ever. And so I didn't really ever have like a real sex talk with any, like, with a parent or like an older like sibling. It was just like not anything that we talked about. It was like very much so like not. But I did have a really great like sex ed teacher in middle school and in high school, Miss McCormick, shout out to you. She was actually pretty conservative as far as like her viewpoints, but at the same time, she like educated us about STDs and protecting ourselves and condom usage and like all of those things. And I was very like appreciative of everything that like I learned. I really retained that information. So it's very interesting because, you know, we talk about this a lot, or just like in society, it's always like that whole abstinence, like only teach abstinence, like in, you know, specific schools, like private schools, Christian schools, like Catholic schools, like only teaching abstinence. And it's like a cultural thing as well. But, you know, people are going to have sex. Like, people are going to have sex. And it's just going to happen. It's been proven throughout time, and it's just going to happen.
How we all got here.
Yes, how we all got here. Like, married or not married, like, sex happens, okay? And it's going to happen. And so the best thing that we can do, even though it may be, like, not within our comfort zones, is to talk about it with those that are important in our lives. And that is if you are about to have sex with someone for the first time, like a new sexual partner, and like learning about like their sexual history and getting tested, like you have to be vocal. If you're grown enough to have sex and to have had sex, you should be grown enough to talk about sex and all the consequences that come with it and every like kind of possible outcome that could happen with it.
Don't feel comfortable talking to your partner about their like test results, then you should not be having sex with that person.
Thank you. Thank you.
That simple.
Because ignorance is not bliss when it comes to an STD child. Like, you need to be careful and protect yourself and be communicative. Like, you know, communicate and be vocal. And it's very, very like important. So something within the Liberian culture, for sure, is that I know now that, like, the reason why my mother was not very vocal and felt uncomfortable talking about sex was because she never had someone talk to her about sex. She never had her parents sit her down and have, like, that sex talk. Because within Liberian culture, that I've been told, like, from my mother's perspective, is that they just did not talk about it. Again, it was Liberian culture and her in her upbringing was just very conservative and very religious and very much so just teaching abstinence and only abstinence.
Yeah, and my mother went to a boarding school, like a religious boarding school.
Yes.
So they definitely were getting it at school.
The mission.
Like, I think about my mom and like my mom, so my grandmother had my uncle when she was a teenager. And then my aunt adopted out of wedlock. And then my aunt had a kid out of wedlock as well. And so I remember, like, my mom, like, from what I can gather, it looks like, it sounds like the only, like, quote unquote sex ed she ever had was, like, look at your sister, don't do that, basically.
Yeah.
Never talking about, like, how good when you get pregnant, like, what does that mean? Like, what is, like, consent? Like, we definitely didn't have consent conversations, you know?
Yeah.
But it's, like, really making sure that, like, as we're, one thing I really love is that we are talking about consent now.
Yes.
And, like, we are talking about consent, not just only in the realm of sex, but also in general. Like, I've been hearing and, like, seeing things on my Tumblr, and, like, I've been reading, like, some baby blogs since my sister-in-law is pregnant. Shout out to Nicole. You know, we talked about this before, but, like, if a kid doesn't want to hug somebody, like, not forcing them to hug somebody, like, teaching people from a young age that their body is theirs and they have the agency over it in all aspects of everything, I think that that's going to go a long way with the next generation and, like, hopefully helping to curb some of this, like, bullshit that's going on around, like, sexual assault and sexual misconduct.
Yes, yes, yes. Consent, consent, consent. And, you know, Betty even mentioned that, you know, in that episode and how important that was when she was teaching sex ed to juvenile delinquent men and boys, and how important that was. But then also for the girls that she taught, you know, consent goes both ways, and consent goes for all genders, and consent, like, you know, you just mentioned, it's on, like, every level. You know, it doesn't have to even just be pertaining to sex. It's just, you know, consent. It's just very vital and it's very important. It's just really, really interesting to see how, you know, whatever our parents kind of learned, how that always kind of trickles down to us to some extent. And it's, you know, not too different when it comes to sex, but I had a very candid and very interesting conversation with my cousin, Thelma. Cousin Thelma is my second cousin. She is my mother's age. And we had a conversation while my mother was in the kitchen and kind of avoiding the conversation. and maybe just kind of popping in, you know, whenever, you know, she wanted to give, like, a very, very quick 2 cents. But Cousin Thelma really was so candid and honest and truthful and transparent. And it was just really interesting to hear her perspective growing up in Liberia and the effect that basically the lack of sex ed had on her and had on all of, like, the young men and women around her growing up in Liberia. So this is Sex Ed with Thelma.
If you get pregnant, let's say you're going to school and you get pregnant, you can't go back to school anymore. You have to either go to my school or something, but you can't go back. Even after you have that child, you do not accept you back into school.
Yeah.
That's how conservative it
is. Yeah.
And the reason I'm saying it because my sister, my older sister, we used to go to B.W. Harris.
Mm-hmm.
And then later we transferred to a offer school in Fort Worth and Mission.
Yeah.
Yeah, my sister, she couldn't go back.
Well, she got pregnant when she was in school.
She got pregnant. She was in seventh grade or something when she got pregnant with her daughter.
Okay.
Yeah. And so Arlene, my niece Arlene.
Yeah.
Yes, that's Arlene, who her mom got pregnant with her.
Uh huh.
So she couldn't go back to the school.
Right.
Once they found out. But that's what I'm saying. You can't go back. That's how.
So then their education just stopped.
No, she.
Or
either, what? She
night did, school.
She went to night school, or then she or they would either transfer to another school. It's not like as well.
That's not as conservative.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It almost like they had certain schools where anybody could go to, and a certain schools if you're pregnant you can't go back there.
So stricter schools and then more lenient schools.
Exactly.
That, yeah. It's
almost like an alternative school.
Alternative school.
Yeah. Not alternative means bad in the city, but, well, more lenient. You well, you can go to the school, but you can't go back to the school.
Right. I mean, obviously, you know, our Christian values teach us, you know, specific mm-hmm. things about, you know, sex and our bodies and whatnot. But if you're not telling children, you can't, every child is different. So like, if you're not telling your children about their bodies and what it means, like when you start your period, but then also like the dangers of sex, but then protecting mm-hmm. yourself and all of those different things, then a child who is already, you know, curious about things or out there, whatever, mm-hmm. they're, and then they have a friend telling them ridiculous random thing that's not even a health fact, mm-hmm. then it's going to expose them to things, and then they're going to get caught up because they were never informed.
Yeah, and you know, it still goes on even here.
It's a vicious cycle. It's the same thing.
Stuff from the friends.
Yeah.
I mean, it's everywhere. And the thing is that they didn't look at it in that way, like, oh no, the reason why I don't want to tell them about it, I don't want to talk to my kids about sex education because it's
you didn't not, want them to do it?
It's not or? Bad. I mean, it's or it's not good or whatever.
Right.
But for them, how they look at it, well, if I don't tell them, they're not going to do it.
Right, but that's not true.
You see, but, and that's the thing. Even the mention the word, like, oh my God, it was like, fuck. Don't say anything about it. That everything was just safe, you know.
It was just kind of turning a blind eye.
Go to school, boyfriend, dog. You got to sit in the living room.
Because it's uncomfortable, but you still gotta have the conversation.
And you know, in the settlements like Carisburg, Alexander, they were very, very strict.
Yeah.
You can't do this. But now you see when you look back, you say, well, that's how the parents raised them.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they had their kids, they raised their kids the same way.
So it was like a pattern. It's a cycle.
Over and over.
Same thing
but
happened.
Our generation, we were the one, I guess, living here, we decided to break that cycle and not just not say anything, tell them about the bodies, you know, tell them what's going to happen and all these things. And it's a good thing, because the thing is to learn. You see, but a lot of kids in Liberia, I can tell you, a lot of girls, because mm-hmm. I have friends that I knew, because parents didn't say anything, they didn't want to talk about, you know, sex education or whatever. A lot of kids went in, you know, followed their friends, listened to their friends, they went and they got pregnant.
Teenage pregnancies.
And I said, doing this yes in Liberia, it was the worst thing ever to happen. And you know what a lot of kids used to do? Mm. Because when they found out they would go to them, they would tell their friend, would say, oh, I knew this person. And I would take
You
can pay maybe, but you can get that $25 and it would take
an abortion.
Have an abortion. There are a lot of a lot of girls died from that.
Oh, when was this? This is in Liberia?
Liberia. Yeah, early. That's your mom. Early.
Yeah.
Remember how friends had girls? A lot of girls used to die from abortion in Liberia because they were afraid of their parents. They didn't want to tell them because they felt it was going to be the worst thing. So
that's so sad. They
listened to their friends and the friends went. Take their friends and then the friend would take them somewhere. To somebody that don't even know anything, to just get
right.
The money. Yeah.
And who knows what they even doing?
Oh, yeah.
What kind of procedure mm-hmm. they doing to them? Yeah. Bleeding out, all that mess.
Because they're so afraid to see anything. That's
so,
the worst thing.
I mean,
guess what? We love doing this show, which is why we do it for free. And so all we ask is that you rate and review us on Apple Podcasts so that others can easily find us. In fact, we're going to give you a little incentive. This season, we have a contest, and we'll select a review, and that person will win some amazing First Gens gear. So go do it now.
Even in the schools, they didn't have, like, education?
Oh, what? Sex? No.
So it was no education at all?
No, there's no education about sex in the schools.
No.
Don't you know we used to Bible? Well, one of the important people, if you're failing Bible, you don't get to pass in the next class.
If you're failing Bible, you have like Bible study?
Bible. Bible was one of the number one, it was one of the major subjects in like in the schools in Liberia.
Okay.
Bible. You had to pass Bible, you have to pass, or if you tonight you fail Bible,
mm-hmm.
you don't get to go to the next class.
Okay.
And you see, you can't be teaching sex education and teaching Bible. Oh no. Ooh. And a lot of the schools, it's only the public schools, a lot of the schools in Liberia, they were Christian. Yeah. They were like church schools.
Right.
Episcopal,
right.
Methodist,
right.
What's the other? Baptist. So a lot of them, so there were no way
just,
were going
yeah.
to
they just teach abstinence.
That. Yes. Not even they won't even teach abstinence because that means they will have to teach about sex education and say don't do it.
They just did not mention it.
It wasn't part of the curriculum. Nothing. It wasn't there.
Not even. So,
we used to look kids learn. We used to learn how our friends say.
But so okay. There's no sex ed, but was there classes? I did check in. Were there classes on just
like biology?
Just when you, girls got their puberty. Puberty. Did they have classes
no,
about puberty?
No. That's what I'm telling you, I'm observing them the wear.
But not even puberty
nothing. The only thing I don't even the biology I don't remember because I remember when Booby had his first biology class, he came and he said mommy, the teacher they show us something inappropriate today at school.
What, no, it's just like an anatomy?
Yeah, and then he said so I said what? He said, they show us. He pointed to me. So I said, well, that's education. I said, you being educated.
Biology.
Yeah. And he pointed to
me.
So, but I don't recall. We never had that.
Yeah.
We didn't. I don't. In biology class, what early? They taught us about what? Just the human body. I don't remember them being specific.
They didn't even get into like the reproductive organs. Nothing about reproductive organs.
I don't remember because the thing is, they were not supposed to say.
But how you don't know about your own body?
You learn from your friends.
And but your friends don't know about their own body.
Well,
nobody
they
knows.
Tell you, they say, oh, you know, sister and so. This is good. I mean, that's how you learn.
Oh, no. Our teacher now, he told us, my mom told me, mm-hmm. the teacher was coming. You know, and she explained how he would come. And, you know, I should do this and do that. You know, I have to take care of myself when he comes for me. We knew that.
I remember I was on prominent when mine happened,
okay,
and actually my friends they helped me because I was on a boarding school, all girls especially they sent you there so you wouldn't have boyfriends. They sent you to the boarding school.
What?
Oh yeah, I think that was Bromley was for. They sent you on Bromley because you know all girls,
mm-hmm.
so you wouldn't have boyfriends. So the parents don't have to worry about their daughters.
Yeah, I know my mom did explain to me about my parents.
I tried to.
Yeah, but we're just talking now about mm-hmm. why they separated.
No,
boys
I'm
and
just
girls.
Saying, you know. I'm
yeah,
just saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we know. You just told us.
You see, I learned a lot, and the reason I seen it because when my sister got pregnant, I had no idea early when I got pregnant. We're on Bromley. I didn't even know what a pregnant person is supposed to look like. It was the other girls on campus that kept coming to me and they said, your sister pregnant. And so I went to her and said, I bet the children say you're pregnant. She was like, no, I'm not pregnant. I didn't even know.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'll tell the nurse when they examined her and then they took her home. She was 6 months.
What?
And I strongly believe if Abby were like 1 or 2 months, if they had carried her home, probably.
She would have done one of those things.
Well, my mom probably would have carried her because it was such a, you know, it used to be, during those days, it used to be so, it was a big shame or something because
yeah.
the family would have, like, oh, I don't want that, to, you know, people to know.
They don't
want to
feel embarrassed.
Yeah. During those days. Mm-hmm. It was like a big thing. It's not like now.
That's
I mean, I think they're still, it's still kind of similar, you know? Like, unfortunately, because like you said, there's still a lot of Christian schools here in America that don't teach anything about sexual education or about anatomy to like a certain extent. It's the same case. And so it's like a catch-22 because you have, and I watch all these like different like, you know, documentaries and shows about a lot of impoverished areas here mm-hmm. in America mm-hmm. where there is not education, there's no education about it. And those areas have the highest teenage pregnancy rates
yeah.
because the boys and girls don't know, like, it's like exactly what you just said, Cousin Thelma, they're learning from each other mm-hmm. because there's no formal education about it.
Yeah.
And it comes back around to them having households without mothers and fathers, yeah. like both mothers and fathers, and without them feeling loved and trying to find love in different places
yeah.
and thinking that a little boy will give them love or thinking having a baby
yeah.
will give them some kind of family that they never had. It's
yeah.
a really mental, like, complex, sad mm-hmm. situation because you have babies raising babies.
Yeah. Yeah.
You literally have these 15, 16, 17-year-old girls.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that there was, like, a really, really big epidemic, you know, like, years ago. I think it's gotten better. Because there was an epidemic, I think a lot of the school systems had to reevaluate and say, we have to, you know, do this, that, and the other, because we see mm-hmm. how much of a serious problem this is.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed what you heard, subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcasts. It helps other people find us, and we definitely want to be found. We can also be found on SoundCloud and wherever else you get your podcast. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FirstGens. That's #1, STGENS. Plus, get tons of extra content on our website. That's firstgenspodcast.com. First Gens was created by me, Perrine DeShield, and the show is co-hosted by my lovely cousin, Sky Wilson. Our musical composer is the amazing Nick Stubblefield. He created all of the amazing tunes you hear in every episode. A special thanks to our roundtable guest, Diana, Emmanuel, Jorge, and Jeannie. And a huge shout out to my cousin Thelma, because she slayed the game and didn't even realize it. All the sex ed knowledge, you're welcome. First Gens is a proud member of Huga, an amazing co-working space based out of Charlotte, North Carolina. Thanks a million, Garrett and team, for taking a chance on us.